Last year, FrankConf 2024. On my plate, a lot has happened since I successfully managed the core contributor team. So I'm basically showing where I got most busy. I also was working in the normal, in the main repository, but in the tools area, I found a lot of things that I just want to improve. So I'm going to talk about that. And the things that I have, first a bit about myself, then the migration from the into the tools repository was a story in itself. There were a bunch of cleanups. Part of that is unification of the flags. We improved the help. We got some new commands. We can create new apps really easy and quickly now. Translations got improvements. We have open issues, and we're going to talk about the next steps in the tools repository. Some background about me. Done software development for a while. And put a new picture, but I didn't manage to put that on the presentation itself when I signed up. Too busy with all the other things, I guess. And lately I've been doing consultant work, and I'm lucky enough that I actually have clients that I could convince or used already fine. So I plan to do more of that, I hope. And some things are already in the pipeline, so I'm actually pretty excited going forward about that. My work history is also coming from the web, original web area, so to speak, and worked my way through all of the things into the back end. And at some point, I was so annoyed with web things that I got into Fine, and I've been busy with that. And that, yeah, got me into the whole project. I wrote an application, or am developing one that I talked about last time. That's now part of the last time frame here. But there's more to come on the next FineConf, I guess, or in between. But for now, stick with what I have at the moment. Bit about my open source background, because I consider that sort of relevant. Fine is open source, and I'm also trying to contribute open source wherever I can. The app that I'm developing, I also want to open source soon, but yeah, the different presentation. Where I got my fingers into was the usual stuff in the web ages back then, got into database stuff. At some point, the OpenBSD project was something I got very enthusiastic about, contributed a lot, and I'm still using it on a daily basis. Did contributions to all sorts of projects, and in the Fine area specifically, it started on OpenBSD as well. Only thing that was missing to get it going was just the support in GoGLFW. Everything else was just working, so it was one patch essentially, and things were off to a good start. Since then, there were a bunch of bug reports, pull requests, and yeah, last year the core contributor acceptance. And yeah, since then I've put a lot of work into the tools. And that all started with the repository migration. I wanted to work on this, but in order to start this, it should be in the right place, of course. And I've done a lot of version control system migrations in the past, so if I can't do that hard, this one, moving from one Git to another. But changes on both sides, it's getting tricky. And then you have cherry picking in both directions and things like that. So it's not as trivial as you initially think. You go through it once, seems reasonable, and you think the second time is going to be easy too. But yeah, no way. You can't automate it. I tried to recycle the scripts that I had from the first time, but basically I had to go everything manually anyways. So it took a while to get this done. But yeah, we managed. And then the cleaning up started. There were a lot of things, and I'm generally very fond of good command line tooling. So there were a couple of things that stood out to me that were related to just when you run the command line tool, you see the output, and then if you just keep staring at it, at some point things start popping out where inconsistencies are shown or things are missing or not really clear. And that also relates to the flags. There were a lot of flags are used in multiple commands, for example, like app ID or app build. They use in the build, in the package, in the release commands. And they were specified everywhere individually, so I centralized all of that. We now have basically one central flex repository, so to speak, and it makes it much easier to consistently use the same flags, because you're now only using the type of flag from the so-called flag repository, and then you're just saying, I want the app build flag, and then you can put that in. So now we have lots of repetitions of those centralized flags, and new commands are easy to support because you just pick from those flags. And if you need to add new ones, it's also really easy because they're all central, organized, grouped by type. And makes it a lot easier to maintain and increases readability as well, because the flag specifications are rather verbose, and this reduces it just to the name and the variable you want the value to be stored in. And this is an example of that. For the app build flag, it's a static map, so even if you scroll it up, you basically see it at build time. And because the map doesn't have the keys allocated, that don't exist. So if you try to access it, it just explodes directly, which is sure can be seen as a drawback. But I think it's easier to test than having to run through all sorts of runtime situations. Yeah, it's not super interesting. The pointer being passed in can be nil as well, and then the Eurofab CLI package just ignores it, so that's not causing a null pointer exception. And then how that's being used is essentially just putting in the maybe the inflex in this case with the key of the map and the variable to store the value in. Pretty straightforward. Not much more to say about that. But that whole process improved the whole help functionality. It made things a lot more readable, and it looks a lot nicer. Here's just a bit of the command line output. And one thing, like I basically oriented myself on what the CLI package provides itself. So it always starts with a verb and then what the command does. And I basically went through all of the commands, made sure that they're all phrased in the same way. Interpunctation, I made sure that they were consistent. There's no dot at the end anymore. And you can also see now there are the shortcuts for the commands. So it looks directly a lot more cleaned up. And for the flags, it's pretty much the same story. They were always with lowercase. And I also made sure this all speaks the same type of language. So if it starts with show help, specify something, enable always with the verb and always lowercase, which is, if you keep staring at it long enough, you keep seeing those things, and that's what I did, so I changed it. Now we're getting a bit more into the commands itself. The install command wasn't able to to handle tags, and one of my projects, I've been releasing a beta version, and that beta version was handled via the beta tag, and when I tested locally, I had to pass the beta tag, so that's how I started using it, or how I discovered it and then kept using it, because it's really convenient just to install the version that you want locally without having to go through the whole process otherwise. Yes. Thank you. And it's just one parameter more, and again, it comes from the central flag repository. I didn't have to specify anything else, just put it in and make sure that the variable is then being used. So then this is the example that I had where I just installed with the beta tag. Another command that I looked into a bit more was the bundle command, which for some time seemed really useful. Then I discovered the embedding, and then I thought that's better than doing it with bundle. But then I thought, why not change bundle to use embedding? So basically what I've been doing manually anyways. And so that's what this change is about. And additionally, I noticed that in the Go generator scripts, you can use wildcards, but Go, it's not running with a shell, So it's just in Go. So I basically added support for globbing the wildcards directly. So now you can use it in the generator scripts really easily. Essentially, just put in Go generate, find bundle, and whatever you want. So it just bundles all your things. In the previous talk, that also showed up where it was loading an image. And that could be done this way as well, for example. Makes it really easy, like just put that line in and your embedding is basically handled for you and you directly have it. The resource prefix, that's the default of the bundle command. You can just access all your bundled resources. Now I jumped ahead a bit. This is what I talked about before, the native embedding of files. That's just handled as you would expect it. Previously, there were the bytes directly included in the source file that's visible here in the div. So what it generated before and what it looks like after. So it's using the Go embed package directly passing the content to the static content. And another command that we brought in is find init, which is super practical because it can really quickly create new applications. Couldn't be any easier. It's fantastic for bug reports. And basically, since I added that, I constantly use it whenever some bug comes up. I'm basically directly doing this. And then I try to copy in the code that's failing or where I think it's failing. And then I just message it until it works. And I can use that minimal example in the bug report. It makes it really easy for people to reproduce. And yeah, I think we should encourage people to use this more, specifically for bug reports. Maybe we should put it in a template even, so that people know this is the fastest way to get this, because otherwise what I did previously as well was looking it up basically, copy-pasting from the find page or my own examples, but this is a lot easier. And this is what the command help output looks like. By default, you can just create a directory, and in that directory, you type find init, and that's it. If you put the minus verbose flag, then it tells you what it does. So basically, all the things that you would have to do yourself, first the code, then the Go mod init, the tidying and all of that, but now it's just init, and then you can directly run it without any other interaction. So that's this code, basically. It just gives you what you would expect really fast. And one thing that was so fast, but sooner or later, depending on the size of the project, ultimately will come up, is translations. And since I wanted to translate one of my projects, I looked into how to doing that easier, which resulted in a new find command as well. And I'm actually kind of proud of this one because of I looked how other languages do the translation things, and a lot of them are, in my opinion, comparatively dirty because they use regular expressions to scan for strings. And since Go has a us parser itself, I could just use that to scan all the code and really be sure that the things that I'm scanning are actually things that should be translated. At the same time, I saw, okay, if I get already all the files, that I can also, on an AST level, I can also scan it to the imported dependencies. So what this allows, if you scan for imports, it goes through everything that's being imported. So even if you're using foreign libraries, that way the translation for the language you're producing for is missing, it will still pick it up and you still can add that translation. Actually, I think that way we even found some missing translations in the find toolkit after running that. And adding that to the Hello World app earlier, looks basically like this. Here we're using embed to load the translations from the JSON files that we're about to generate in the next slide, and then loading the translations and using the lang package to call the actual translation. And how to use the translation command is first that you need to create the translations directory yourself, otherwise, or you specify a different path. By keeping it separate in a directory makes it a bit cleaner, otherwise you have all the JSON files in your main directory. That's a bit ugly. But then you basically just call the translate command and you tell where you want the output to be saved, and then it, without arguments, it just scans everything. So if you do it in the main directory, it will go through all of it recursively and find all translation strings, puts them in the JSON file, as you can see there, and then I made a really simple example for a German translation, which is just copying the file, replacing the English with German, and then if you run it, you get the German result. Even though you need to watch out that you're using the right language. On Linux systems, you, I guess you can use call it the lang variable. I forgot how it was on Windows, but you can also change it there. And on macOS, there's another thing. I'm not sure where. I don't have this on those slides. I forgot. But you need to tell Fine in the Fine app terminal file what languages it knows about. Otherwise, on macOS at least, it won't show you in the preferences where you can set the preferred languages per application. It doesn't show you the drop-down. It just shows you a warning like no translations available. And I noticed in the process, but unfortunately forgot to add it to the slides. But yeah, at least I'm sharing it now here, so if you're wondering, this is why. And the other things. Oh yeah, right, the install command. That's working now basically like Go install. Pretty much exactly, if I think about it. It respects the tags. If you don't specify a tag, it uses the latest as Go would. So meaning it actually doesn't use the latest, it's the latest version, but not the head from Git, basically. It really uses the latest tag. Or version specifically, that I'm actually not sure about. If it could be any tag or needs to be a specific version, but either way, it uses the last official version, most recent official version, yeah. So like Go, effectively. And the install command also works locally and yeah, it just does what you want. The help looks aligned with the rest, so you can also put a add tags, set the release mode in order to strip the debug signals and so on. But effectively, you just find install, and then here I use the example where also I think I contributed one or two commits as well to the QR code generator that Andy came up with after there was a funny conversation online where a bunch of people said, like, yeah, we need to find QR code generator, and there were a bunch of implementations suddenly popping up. So this is then the one where we agreed to contribute to. Another thing also related to the tooling is that with the threading that Andy mentioned before with the latest changes, new apps automatically get this set up in the Fine app terminal file, so it does say under migrations Fine do is true directly, so you don't even have to worry if you create new apps. And if you use those calls, basically any go routine outside of Fine scope, you essentially just add this call to Fine do with, in this case, example and label that's being enabled. And then that's thread safe. And looking forward, there's always things open. There's actually, I've been focusing in the tools repository more on the PRs, I realized, than I was focusing on the issues. So now that means there's a bunch of things that I know I should look into because they're going to be useful. There are, for example, ideas about optimizing the WASM output that we generate because it's relatively large and we hope to get it smaller. And another idea that I also think is interesting is adding app metadata for Linux packages to make it easier for the packaging systems and so on, which relates to distribution-related things, which is a topic that's going to come up anyways. And yeah, I don't have it on this one. I picked that up this morning because it is something on my plate, but I didn't realize that we're going more officially for it, so that's going to be exciting, I think. What's that about? Okay. There's one OpenPR about the GoFlex from the environment not being passed on Android and I think on Windows too. That's an older PR that also has the same problem. So the new solution here will probably solve both, if I understand it right. So that's going to come soon. And there's going to be support for pre-release tags in the versions. That's the PR that's pending. But initially I thought it's a good idea, but then I tested on Windows and saw that it wouldn't work because Windows itself doesn't allow pre-release information. So I jumped into that one, fixed that. So now we can go back to adding pre-release information to like on a higher level for all fine applications. And one yuck that keeps staring at me is Fine Cross. So there's going to be some shaving in the future. I looked already in the command line, how the commands and flags and everything, how they work in there. And there's a custom implementation that I need to look into to make align it with what we have now in the tools as a first step. So there's going to be a couple of steps to migrate this. I don't going to make any promises how long that's going to take. But I think, yeah, that's the direction we need to take. And the last thing then that I'm always eager to do, but I always have to be careful, you can't just nuke deprecated code, because maybe someone's still relying on it, maybe there's a deprecation policy, so this is also going to take more time than I expected.